sorry, Mike.
About this case.
Are we broadcasting?
Yep, we have to broadcast this one. This is a named case. And then we'll be gathering again for Dakota Access. Does anyone know if our attorneys are coming to that? For Dakota Access? Are we rolling, Steve?
We're rolling.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Julie Fedorchak, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, and we are meeting this morning for a work session on a number of cases regarding Northern Excavating Company Incorporated damage prevention enforcement. Case number GS-13-884, 885-14-230, 13-886, 14-134, 14-229, and I believe 14-671 has already been decided.
All the way around. 14-671 is in, 14-134 is already.
I'm sorry. So we are not discussing 14-134. That's been decided. We are discussing today 14-671. Okay. I don't have any opening comments. This is really your portfolio, Commissioner Kalk, so I'll pass it over to you. But I think the goal from my perspective was just to sit down, sort of walk through with our council and just get organized and get some initial thoughts out there on this case. Super complicated on technical issues, and I think we just didn't want to leave very much time between the hearing and the work session so we could keep it fresh in mind and keep the details fresh in mind. At least that's my my goal for today. So with that, I'll just kick it over to you and Jack and Pat to sort of run the show.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with everything you just said as far as the goal of the first meeting. Just to make clear, what I had down is 884, 885, 230 is one block, 886, 229, and 671 is the other block. Is that what Jack and everybody's you're tracking to, Patrick? Just because, like, you hit the nail on the head, it gets very confusing with the way the cases got
broken. If I could add to that, I have 884, 885, 230 as being the
one block
improper marking.
Absolutely.
Or no call before you dig, right? Like, there wasn't a ticket.
I have those as the no ticket violations, if you will. Outside a window for one, no ticket on the other, not an emergency.
Yep.
They
admit, and then the other three was not
care not, required.
Yeah, not using proper care.
Absolutely.
Okay. 886-229-671.
Correct. And so I guess if I know it's there's a lot of moving parts here, but I took a step back after the hearing, and I don't view this as overly complicated anymore. I think it's get the order written up. I think he's guilty on all counts, and I think that I similar to the previous case where we did not include the multiplier, I'm okay if we would leave the multiplier out, but I'd also be okay if we did add maybe one multiplier since this is the second block of cases in front of us, but that one I really could go either way. I think for me the goal here would be to move through this and get our order out there, because one thing that when I met with the damage prevention folks a while back is, you know, at one time I thought that the dollar amounts were the striking factor that we should be focused on, but now I think it's the dollar amounts are important, but it's more of getting to the decision of did they violate the law or not. So I would like to go through to get that kind of end in mind. And when I look through just quickly the different tickets, I mean, I thought they were really pretty clear. The 884, I mean, it was outside the window, not valid. That was pretty close. 886, the only thing there that kind of jumped out for me was that he was trying to say it was under emergency. I don't think there was anything there that was under any kind of emergency. In his mind, it may have been an emergency.
Was that 885?
I'm sorry, 885. I did read my notes correctly. 885. That one could maybe discuss if you or Randy thought there was an emergency in there. I think it's very dangerous precedence that just because a city leader comes and says it's an emergency, there's a process in there. There wasn't lives that threatened. It just didn't seem to me it crossed the threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And then 230, no ticket again. And then the other, the care required, I thought those were pretty clear too. Using the machine doesn't mean it's perfect. He admitted not doing hand digging. So I don't know if that's what you're looking for, Madam Chair, but I really, unless you had different thoughts, I think I'd tell staff to get an order together that basically peels off the multiplier.
The one area where I was, there was a few areas where I had some question, like the one where he claimed it was improperly marked. I think that's 884. The ticket wasn't valid, though.
It was outside the window.
It was outside the window, so the ticket wasn't valid. And so,
kind of negated his
point. It negates that point, exactly. And then you still need to use proper care. If it's, I don't know where do you begin to determine an improper marking? I mean, and the fault for something like that is sort of a he said, she said type of situation.
I would think you'd have to have someone to prove that you can't, unless there's an absence of a photo, it's exactly what you said, I would say.
And it's up to the contractor to use care, right? The burden is really on them. If yes. something is improperly marked, how would they go about proving that?
They're supposed to, they would have to provide the evidence, of course, and photos.
And have a valid ticket, starting with a valid ticket.
Mm-hmm. And the careful and prudent is within 24 inches of the facility on either side. And so if they were careful, if they did their careful and prudent digging within 24 inches of the mark, and then they find out that they find the facility somewhere else, then they need to provide the evidence. Otherwise, as far as the utility is concerned, they marked it. They went out, they marked it. They believe that their mark is correct.
Right.
But the excavator would have to show otherwise.
So, for example, if the digging occurred 24 inches away, right, more than 24 inches away from mm-hmm. a mark, and then they hit something there, then they would clearly be able to document that with a photo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Yeah, the 885 with the emergency, I agree that doesn't meet the definition of emergency.
It's a pretty high standard, I think. Gas was not billowing out. There wasn't flames and fire. I mean, it...
Let's see here. 230. What was the deal with the ticket on that one? Ticket...
I had 190 feet east of.
Right.
Ticket excavator. It was way outside.
They didn't have a ticket for the area they were digging.
Right.
And at one point he did say. Mr. Lindbergh did say. I guess we didn't have a valid ticket. We thought we did. And then he claimed on a different occasion that. They had the ticket and MDO didn't locate the facilities in that area, that it was sort of their fault, but the ticket didn't, it was clear in the ticket, the description, and it didn't cover the area where he was digging and struck the infrastructure. So I agree that one's, clearly a violation as well. So that's those three. 886.
There was a discussion about if it truly was hand. It was kind of a he said, she said in the hand digging.
Oh, that's the, with and the then, probe. He right. thought they hit it with the probe.
Right.
And then they took their machine and went and cut the whole thing and to sort of prevent more gas. Right? Wasn't that what they said they did?
I can't say for sure.
And hit it with the probe. Then the contractors exposed it, cut it, clamped it off. probe went through it first, then it was cut by the excavator.
That was the one that I thought they were way out trying to do what they thought was right. It's just that one just sounded funny. If they were hand digging, there's no way it could have caused that much damage.
Well, and again, you know, I think the point there, even if they were trying to mitigate the damage, it's an extremely dangerous practice, and we don't want to encourage that.
Absolutely.
If you strike something, you need to call and leave it alone, right. Not dig more. But, I mean, I do appreciate that they were trying to make it better. It's just not something we want to encourage by our actions here.
Commissioner right. Christman did leave us a couple notes, if you just want me to express those to you briefly.
Sure. Was that on this one?
This was on 14671 and just the graduated amounts for damages.
Okay. Hold on one second. I'm just, if we don't mind, just keep going through
finish
the,
your thoughts,
the
yeah.
229.
Take a call then May 1st.
Yeah. Oh, that's when they called. And then they didn't wait, right? Damage occurred 2 to 4 days after the locates. Or is this the one where they called in after they struck it?
They were, this is where they were talking about the whiskers that were marking up.
Oh.
The pipe and they were, Mr. Lindbergh was talking about the space in between the whiskers was more than he thought it should be.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. Where was this one? Is this in up in Ray or
yeah.
Or was this the one in Bismarck? 2671 is the Bismarck one, right?
Yes. 229 is Ray.
Okay. Oh, that's right. They called. They wanted refreshers and said that they refused. Oh, Ross, yeah, refused to come out. And relocate, but the original locates were only a couple days before. Yeah, I remember this one now. Okay, does Randy have any comments on this one?
On these specific cases, no.
No. Okay.
Yeah, on a single one.
And then 671. Oh, this is where the line collapsed.
Supporting and protecting area. That's similar to that previous block of cases
mm-hmm.
where they claim that it's their job to protect that area.
What was your final thought on 229, 14229? Anything there? Or a preliminary thought at least.
Do you have some?
I didn't buy the argument about the whiskers. You know, if they were 50 feet apart, I didn't buy that that was too far.
Okay.
You know, my impression was, I believe that the whiskers marked the line before the excavation occurred, and you could then make a line following the whiskers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that would have been a straight line, pretty straight. And so if you needed to mark it more to maintain the location, as an excavator, you can do that.
Isn't that required? I had a note here. Maintain the marks is required by state law by the excavator. So it's kind of like it's his responsibility to maintain the marks.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to say it was MD, it's his responsibility. So I didn't buy that part of it just because it's pretty clear who should maintain the marks.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And the line... MD testified that the line was marked properly, but that the marks were not maintained.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It also was confusing, I thought, in the whole, I couldn't really get a complete understanding about what happened in the call for refreshers. At one point he was blaming MDU for not coming out, and then at another point it was the one call people And I never, it was never really clear to me how that all transpired in terms of the request for additional markings. What really happened with that? I didn't fully, and it seemed like there was contradictory testimony there.
Yeah, I mean, the marking was done. I mean, they called for the mark on May 1st, they called the one call for on May 1st, and then they began the excavation on May 6th.
Mm-hmm.
If you called in for additional markings, then the company's wondering, well, why would you need to have it marked again? It's because you didn't maintain your markings, perhaps?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that was a factor for on whether the company decided to, I don't know, about not marking again after Mr. Lindbergh called in again. I don't know if that was a factor.
Yeah.
It's a legal question to our attorney, Julie. I've never got to this point in the hearing, but I'm kind of there now, I think, where I've almost like one of the witnesses I don't view as credible anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's really hard with the previous block of cases. I know it's a separate case, but he's in default there.
Right.
He didn't pay his fines then, and we have another set there. And this one, it just seems like it's all over the board. So I'm having I'm just having a hard time with anything he says is credible. How do you deal with that?
That's absolutely within the fact finder's area to determine how credible the witnesses are. That is,
I don't want a finding that says we deemed him not credible, but I'm just candidly in this work session, it's really hard to put weight to his testimony sometimes, knowing that what he said before he didn't do in previous cases, and that's a separate block. And even in these cases,
right,
it just seems like it's all over the board.
I think the previous cases, they weren't actually placed on any information was placed on the record for these current cases, so I don't think that's something we'd really take into consideration. But his credibility and contradictory evidence and all that to what he said, that is all things that kind of weigh into it. Not that a person is necessarily lying, but that they're...
So if we dealt... If we wanted, if at some point in there you could put evidence contradicted back and forth, would
right.
be the way of saying that. And I'm just throwing that out there just because that's kind of where I'm at in some of these he said, she said, Commissioner. It's
mm-hmm.
just.
Sure.
Okay. There was something in the line of questioning, though, from Mr. Armstrong about Mr. Lindbergh acknowledging that he hadn't paid his previous fines. Is that anything that can be reinforced in here? Or?
The previous fines to the Commission?
That's a fact. That
right.
That he was fined a previous time. Is that go in the order somewhere?
I don't think that's something that really goes to these violations for this specific case.
But if we use a multiplier, we would want to reference that he was found in a previous case.
Well, in that case, we would. We want to put that in the order.
Okay.
To make that determination.
Did Commissioner Christman have anything else? Julie asked that kind of
yeah,
said.
I'm sorry.
Do you have any
yeah.
more?
Mm-hmm.
On case 14671, that was the Apple Creek case, He said that the way he expressed to me is that he would be open to dismissing that case. He seemed like there was some doubt in exactly what happened in that case to him, and especially with the other excavators in the area.
Some doubt, did he explain any more, or is that the same thing we were just talking about?
No, I think that's probably the extent of it.
Let's see here, hold on. I'm going to pull that stuff up again. This is where he said he called MDU personally when the operator dug the trench. The dirt fell away from the lines. MDU arrived on site and took care of it. Didn't need to hand dig because they were well outside the 2-foot mark. Northern Excavating didn't cut the line. Uh I'm trying to. So then MDU's side or advocacy said there's no evidence the damage occurred after the digging because there was no outages. They weren't digging carefully because the line collapsed.
I think MDU testified that the line would not have lasted very long mm-hmm. with the damage that it had. And so to me that was a big factor that there was nobody else there. I mean, Mr. Lindberg testified that there was somebody there earlier in the year. I can't remember how long it was, but it was certainly, you know, more than a couple of weeks, I think. But then the MDU witness testified that the line wouldn't have lasted more than a couple of days after it was damaged. And so it couldn't have been that previous excavator.
It wasn't just damaged. Wasn't it cut in half?
It was pretty exposed. The coating looked like it was off. From the pictures that I remember.
Was it severed, though?
My impression is that it wasn't severed. It was just exposed. And the conductors were exposed, and it wouldn't have lasted.
Well, here's the picture. Isn't that cut in half?
I don't know if that was to repair it. It might have been cut to repair it.
Oh.
For some reason, I just thought it was just...
Well, then there's this picture. What is that showing?
I think Lindberg testified that... See, look here, you can't see any damage on this picture.
So this is the coating, maybe, that you're referring to?
Oh.
And this is, I don't know what that's showing either.
I'd have to go back in the record.
Was there any other company that was operating here again, to clarify, earlier? You said Jack, that he had some questions about who did it. I
mean, right.
I didn't see anything that anybody else was digging in that area during this time frame, unless I missed something.
I don't recall anything about the additional excavators. That's just what he expressed to me, is that since there were other excavators in the area, that there seemed to be some indication of that.
Well,
yeah, there was. He provided some pictures of his own. I'm looking for those.
I remember his discussion, but see, this couldn't have been me because it was clearly exposed for a long period of time. This is where I go back into the credibility piece.
Right. Different stories.
But does that mean that Commissioner Crispin is fine with the other five as far as he thinks he did it?
Yeah, that's what he expressed to me. And furthermore with that, he seemed to be okay with following the pattern of the previous cases, the graduated amount to $1,000 per violation and the added severity $500 for each gas case.
Remind me what we did on the last case for the fines. I thought we didn't graduate them. We right. minimized them in some way.
We did not include the escalator, the graduated fine, for the number of times that it was for repeat violations.
We
just took it off last time.
Was there some graduation because there were multiple? Was that all one company that they was damaged in that case?
It was not, there wasn't any graduation in the fine for multiple events.
So the base date of $500 per violation.
And then there were some severe, impact. There were some additional amounts for impact. And that's.
So in this case, we had, so for 884, we had a $500 proposed for no ticket, No, $500 for severity and a $4,000 escalator.
Right, that's what my note said, too.
So in the last case, did we eliminate all the escalators?
Yes.
And is that what Randy's proposing again?
The way he described to me is he wanted to follow suit with the previous case.
Okay.
But it seemed like he believed that we used an escalator from $500 to $1,000 from there, so we'd start with a base of $1,000 per violation in this one.
I'm not following you.
So, meaning $1,000. So, when we look at the no ticket line, the severity line, it'd be a $1,000 base for every one of these?
Right.
That's funny because I was actually thinking kind of the same way of just saying that before we had like, you know, $5,000 total for 884, $5,500 for 885,
mm-hmm.
and there was kind of jumping around back and forth because the way that the staff recommended them, we broke them apart. So, we'd assign the violation amount for no ticket. We just accept the severity line, and then we could do $1,000 as a baseline for, instead of using 4,000 in one and 45 for the next and 55 for the other, just do 1,000 for all of these.
1,000 for each flat.
Each one. So, for example, that would mean something like for 884, it'd be a total of a $2,000 fine.
Yep.
For 885, it'd be a $2,000 fine. For 886, it would be a $1,500 fine because they did have a ticket in that case.
Mm-hmm.
For 229, it would be a $1,500 fine, 230, $2,000 fine, and 671, a $1,500 fine.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly be okay with that. As far as Commissioner Crispin's discussion about not doing that one, I'd like to talk to him again about that one just because I don't quite see it that way.
Okay.
But if we've got agreement on everything and but that,
right.
I don't think it's need to hold this up for a long period of time. Maybe there's a middle ground in there we could find.
It did seem like you want to create a precedent of adding the $500 fine for a severity due to the natural gas, too.
Absolutely.
So the way he was describing was essentially that I think almost ended up being $1,500 per violation. I don't know if that exactly works in from what we were just talking about right there.
I think it was.
Yep, $1,500 per violation. And then, but then additional $500 if there was no ticket for those three cases.
Okay.
There was no ticket.
That's it.
Does that sound reasonable, Commissioner
mm-hmm.
Fedorchuk?
So,
so if you could rough out an order to that fact, and then we could review it, and if we need to tweak the 671, we certainly could. But after we talk through it, it's easier when the guy's sitting here, too.
Yeah, and he might have some notes that he kept that are, you know, bring out a few other things that I'm not remembering from the back and forth. I do agree that it wasn't quite as clear as the other cases.
I agree with
that.
There's
more fuzzy area, and
the way he expressed it did seem like he was borderline on the fence on that one, too.
Well, and maybe something like that I'd propose back is maybe in that case we don't issue the severity because of the... But he did hit the line.
Well, that's what the question is.
Well, that's where
whether he did it. I mean, that's if you're going to do anything, it's throw it out or determine that he did it and then give the fine.
You're talking about the probe one?
671. No, the one in Bismarck.
Okay.
See, that's one I don't see there's anybody else that was operating in there. But that's where you're right. Maybe I missed something. But
I want to go back and listen to that stuff.
Okay.
It's all over the board, though. And that's the hard part of this is...
Like I said in my opening comments.
Can you guys find that evidence, find that line, those where he's discussing what it was that happened, Lindbergh's view versus advocacy staff's view on that particular case in terms of their testimony? Because that's... especially in terms of who else was operating out there, because you know I'm looking at all his pictures and he did walk through these in some detail.
See, I had a note on that, Commissioner, about the supporting and protecting the area is required, so therefore he was not careful and prudent. So even if somebody else was out there, let's just say,
right,
he's still supposed to be careful and prudent, support the area of construction, which he didn't do that. So
yeah, although he claims he was outside the 2 feet.
That goes back to the credibility of the witness. But I'm not willing to. I agree with you. It's not worth.
Was there any evidence, hard evidence, that showed he was?
Either
it's
way.
Hard to tell from the pictures.
I think in the grand scope of things, whatever we would decide in 671, I'd be fine with it because there's a lot of things to move here.
Right.
And it's just.
Well, and Randy might have, he might have some more specifics on that too. So. Okay, well.
So does that mean the
I'm good staff? With all the I'm good with that, the change on those fines. The rationale being that the escalators are more appropriate when you've find somebody, told them. They come back, they do it again. Find somebody, told them, they come back, do it again. These all occurred at once, so there's no clear, you know, there is a clear pattern of not following the law here, but not a clear pattern of him being
told,
penalized, told, and, you know, charged with it, found guilty, and then come back and do it again. So I think that's it's fair to do it the way we're proposing here.
Because we are applying an escalator from 500 to 1,000, but it's just that one.
Yeah.
So we could hold true to that precedent. This is the second block of cases.
Right.
That makes sense. Well, do we want to propose something on 671?
I'd like to hear from Randy on
okay.
that one.
Well, so you guys, how about we have them write it up the way we did it this way, and we can tweak it down the other way?
It's write it. Okay, say that again.
Prepare a draft order. With what we just said. And in the draft order, we can either leave it quiet on 671 or have them prepare it the same way as others, and then we can adjust it in the work session.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'd say include it, and then Randy can share, and we can dig up some more evidence on what the two, you know, here's what these guys said, here's what these guys said. And then we can move forward on and get Randy's thoughts, and then we should be able to move forward. Does that work? Okay. Good. When do we want to wrap this up? Let's just look at this schedule here a little bit because you're going to be gone. And
how quick can you guys get a draft order put together today?
Okay. Well, we don't have a meeting. We have a meeting on the 29th, and then after that we're off until, well, we won't have you back, I think, until the
20th.
Do we have a meeting on the 20th? No? No. When did we schedule that one?
Well, there's a chance we could get this wrapped up by our 29th meeting, I would think.
Yeah. We have a meeting on the 12th, one, two, and then it's the 2nd. Yeah. Before you're back. So. Yeah. How do you guys feel about the possibility of getting this wrapped up by the 29th? Draft the order and get it around this week?
The advocacy staff has a date. I think they were planning to file their proposed order on the 22nd. So we'll have that, and they're listening in, so they might even be able to make include some of the things the commissioners have been talking about.
Okay.
And then we'll have that for review ahead of the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a version, like a commission version of an order by the 29th?
Well, I think we need to probably schedule another work session maybe on the 27th, Monday the 27th, or we could do it the end of this week. I don't know. What's your schedule like, Brian?
Pretty good, actually. I got a meeting at 10 on Friday, but Friday morning or after that, it's okay.
See, now I'm pretty tied up Friday, except for early in the morning,
eight
or 8:30.
That's fine.
Why don't we tentatively see if that works for Randy?
For the 24th?
The morning of the 24th? The other possibility for me, I'm in Grand Forks on the 27th. So then it would be the 28th would be the next possible time for me, which cuts it kind of close for the meeting. But I could also call in from the car on the 27th because I'll be driving back that afternoon. So
I think same thing. Victor and I are actually down in Kansas City for the Southwest Power Pool meeting, but you don't have to break away. I could break away to call that way. I think if we can't do Friday, we could look at it, but Friday seems reasonable.
Okay. I just don't know what Randy's schedule is like on Fridays.
Could you ask him, Jack?
Okay, so.
I just want to clarify, you were looking at 8:30 on that Friday?
Yeah.
That's a work session.
Yep, for a work session.
With a roughed up order. Because, I mean, really, I think the only discussion point for the work session is the 671 case.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Finalize that, and then we'd be good to go. Good. All right. Anything else?
No, ma'am.
All right. We will close the work session on the six different cases involving Northern Excavating Company Incorporated. Thank you.